And now, our feature presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now locked into the Sailor and Tyler Show. Here on Real Variety Radio, KRBR International. Now, here are the stars of our show, live from Houston, Texas, Sailor Cooper and Tyler Evans.
Sailor and Tyler on Real Variety Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, Real Variety Radio, the best variety on the internet. This is your NetJ/host, Sailor Cooper. And as always, do I have a co-host with me tonight?
Yes, Tyler Evans.
How you doing?
Doing good. Looking forward to the show tonight.
Well, of course, we have Brandy again tonight. How you doing?
I'm good.
Thank you for joining us on the Sailor and Tyler Show tonight.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, we thought we'd do a special show tonight since yesterday, December 7th, was the 80th anniversary that Pearl Harbor was attacked by surprise in Hawaii by the Japanese. And so, what we're going to do is, this show is going to be a hybrid show. It's going to be partially pre-recorded and partially live. The pre-recorded segment is going to be a clip from a show last year where I interviewed a history major. His name is Herbie, over at 98.6 The Mix. And also, you're not going to believe this, my grandfather, Papa Jack, was in World War II. He was a World War II veteran. He wasn't at Pearl Harbor specifically, but he does remember it all happening. And so he's going to tell us everything through his eyes that he saw. So, let's get the show underway. So, Brandy, let's start out with our special guest. And by the way, if you want to come join us on the show, please come into the clubhouse link. Or you can also call 713-714-6667. So, Brandy, what can you tell us about Pearl Harbor?
I don't really know nothing.
You know nothing? Why?
Cause I don't know why. I just don't.
Well, basically, I can kind of tell you a little bit. Basically, it was December 7th, 1941, when Japanese attacked the U.S. at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And actually, World War II was going on 2 years prior to that, but we decided to take a neutral stance, and we didn't join the war. The only reason why we joined it was because of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and we decided to join it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And basically, the next day, Congress declared war on Japan.
Yes, yes.
As soon as Roosevelt declared, gave his speech to Congress, his famous The Day We'll Live in Infamy speech, which hopefully we can play that clip too.
Of course, we're going to be playing that. Absolutely, yes.
All right, good.
Yes.
It's just crazy how it happened in December, and it was on a Sunday.
Yeah, during the holiday season too.
Well, close to it. And what's interesting, almost exactly 60 years later, 9/11 took place.
I know. It's crazy.
It's like 1941, a terrorist attack. 2001, a terrorist attack. 2012, a terrorist attack in Benghazi. How does this happen, like, precise?
And 2020, like, a pandemic, of course.
Yeah, 8 years later. It's almost like every so often, every few 8 to 10 years, a decade, give or take, it's almost like there's a disaster that hits.
Exactly, yes.
It's weird. But at the same time, I'm not surprised because the Bible talks about how there's going to be trouble toward the end times. But, yeah. But anyhow.
Yeah.
But anyway. So,
I talk about Pearl Harbor in this clip that we're going to play from last year. So, what do you say? Let's revisit it.
All right.
Here it is.
Tonight, I do have Herbie Allen, who's a history major, who's going to also talk to us about Pearl Harbor tonight. How are you doing?
I am doing just great. How about you, my friend?
I'm doing very, very well. Thanks for agreeing to be on the show with me tonight.
Yes, you are very, very welcome. I'm glad to talk about this historic event with you.
Yes, yes. So, tell me, what do you think of, what do you know about the attack on Pearl Harbor? What do you think, what happened, you know, during that?
Well, the attack on Pearl Harbor was, you know, quite interesting in terms of, first of all, it was not the Japanese first plan. They were originally trying to plan, see if they could do something a little bit more ambitious, like the Panama Canal, which would have damaged American shipping. But it was a very ambitious attack. It definitely kind of caught, you know, some, a lot of Americans napping, and it launched us into World War II.
Yes.
There was, you know, their big main attack was really on, like, the Philippines. But, but nevertheless, you know, they did attack Pearl Harbor, you know, did a lot of damage to several naval vessels. It launched us into World War II, and then it gave America the excuse it needed to be able to invade Europe, because then Hitler, after an agreement with Japan, who really didn't want to, ended up declaring war on us, you know, a couple days later. And the interesting thing is, from an American perspective, Japan was not the true enemy. They were after resources in the Pacific. They were not necessarily after taking over America, doing a full-on invasion into the United States or anything like that. What they wanted was the Pacific. Maybe they would have done something more different later on down the road, but the Germans were the ones that Roosevelt was more fearful of, because Hitler was trying to create a race of supermen, basically. And actually, they were the ones, you know, really trying to take over the world. And so, you know, we had to deal with Japan, but, you know, Germany was actually viewed as the enemy to be feared. So that is a little bit of interesting history for you there.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. We're also going to play a speech from FDR asking Congress to declare war on Japan. And also, guess what? In a few moments, after I read something about Pearl Harbor, we are going to have my 100-year-old grandfather on the show tonight. He is going to tell us his thoughts on Pearl Harbor, because he lived it. Also, he was in World War II. He was a fighter pilot in World War II, and he was shot down by a Japanese artillery in the Pacific Ocean. And thankfully, the American rescue boat rescued him, and he is still alive today, which is good.
Yes, indeed it is.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, so I'll read some stuff. The attack on Pearl Harbor was a surprise military strike on the Imperial Japanese Navy Air Service on the United States, a neutral country, at the time against at the naval base at Pearl Harbor in Honolulu, Hawaii, which was a territory before, just before 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941. The attack led to the United States going into entry into World War II. The next day, the Japanese military leadership referred to the attack as the Hawaii Operation Z during its planning. Japan intended the attack as a prevented action to keep the United States Pacific Fleet from interfering with its military actions in Southeast Asia against overseas territories of the United Kingdom. The Netherlands and the United States, over the course of 7 hours, there were coordinated Japanese attacks in the U.S.-held Philippines, Guam, and Wake Islands on the British Empire, in Malaya, Singapore, and Hong Kong. The attack commenced at 7:48 a.m. Hawaiian time. The base was attacked by 353 Imperial Japanese aircraft, including fighters, level and dive bombers, and torpedo bombers, in two waves launched from six aircraft carriers. Of the eight U.S. Navy battleships, all were damaged, with four sunk. All but the USS Arizona were later raised. Six were returned to service to fighting the war. The Japanese sank or damaged three cruisers, three destroyers, an anti-aircraft ship, and one minelayer. A total of 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed. 2,403 Americans were killed and 1,178 others were wounded. Important base installations such as the power station, dry dock, and shipyard, maintenance and fuel and torpedoes facilities, and the submarine piers and headquarters, they were not attacked. Japanese losses were light. 29 aircraft and 5 midget submarines lost and 64 servicemen killed. Kazuo Sakamaki, the commanding officer of one of the submarines, was captured. Japan announced a declaration on war on the United States December 8th in Tokyo, and the declaration was held and delivered the following day. The following day, December 8th, Congress declared war on Japan. On December 11th, Germany and Italy each declared war on the U.S., which responded with a declaration of war against Germany and Italy. There were numerous historical precedents in military action by Japan.
All right.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to argue a little bit about the point, though, that I'm not going to go to whether it was a surprise attack or not, because there's a lot of debate on whether we knew anything. I think there was some suspicions, and I want to point out that the Navy actually several years before was preparing for a possible war with Japan. So while we actually didn't know about the specific, maybe didn't know about the attack on Pearl Harbor, there was some military preparedness for a war with Japan, and that was ultimately roughly the battle plan that we used during World War II. Also, another thing, and it's a little bit complex, and I won't even pretend to understand it all, but there is a lot of trade issues going on that, you know, first of all, we'd already had the Lend-Lease program, so we were helping out. We were helping out England and the Allies during World War II before December 7th. And you have to remember that Germany and Japan did have an alliance.
Yeah.
And we did some trade restrictions and stuff like that. So I don't think it's fair to call it... I personally think, and granted I haven't, you know, graduated college yet, so not making a mistake, I'm not a credited historian, but I think it's fair to call us semi-neutral, not completely neutral, and because no, we didn't commit any military forces, but we were contributing to the war effort, and we did actually have the draft in place, and we're already kind of building up the army at least a little bit. So
you're saying it was. You can't argue that it it wasn't a surprise. I mean, we all knew it was... everybody
we knew that war was inevitable. The attack itself, I think you could argue, was a surprise. The Japanese had really good encryption. You know, yes, you did have encryption back then. It wasn't with computers. It was a series of numbers and stuff generated by Morse code, but... they had sophisticated code books and stuff. So, you know, I don't know that we knew for sure that Pearl Harbor was going to get attacked. But we did know that war with Japan was very much a possibility.
Indeed. Now encryption is definitely more sophisticated.
Oh, way more sophisticated. But, you know, the Japanese... Remember, the Asian cultures are really good with... numbers and stuff, though. So
they are, yeah. Yeah, that's why. That's why I figure technology in Japan. I don't know if you've heard, it's more advanced.
Yep. Well, why do you think we rely on them for their video game and consoles and that whatnot today?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, the Japanese are very. You know, it wasn't. I don't want people to think that it was just an out of the blue thing that. You know, don't get the wrong impression that you know, Japanese, it was a complete surprise. They'd actually had a history of surprise attacks on other nations, too, going back to before the Russo-Japanese War, you know, conflict they had with Russia back in the early 20th century. So, you know, it's a little bit more complicated. I mean, it still was a tragic attack. I think, you know, it was still a surprise attack by all means, don't get me wrong, but it was not a surprise that we were going to get into a war with them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go for a break for a couple of station announcements, and then we'll bring my grandfather on the air. All right, so what did y'all think of that segment there? Me interviewing the history major.
It was good.
It was, yeah. He gave some great information about Pearl Harbor. And I even read some stuff about it as well, which was very good. But on a side note, I know we were talking. Brandy, I want to tell you, you do sound very sweet. You have a sweet voice. I like your accent. And I kind of like you.
Okay.
Yeah. You said you had a crush on Matthew initially?
I did.
Wait, you did?
I told you that.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, Brandy, I know you were born, in North Carolina, but you lived in Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You're a sweet lady. You really are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, do y'all have any thoughts on that segment we just played there?
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Good information.
Yes.
It is good information because it's informative.
It is.
Talks about, you know, he goes deep. And what surprised me is how he said that Japan wasn't actually the enemy. I'm like, what?
Wow.
From the enemy. Well, then who was?
Who was? That's right.
Was it basically Japan along with the Asian countries, you know, with like Russia and China with Stalin and Mao? Was
right.
it them too? So it was pretty much all of them because it was a world war. It wasn't just, we weren't just dealing with one country.
Right.
We were dealing with Japan. We were dealing with Germany. And I think we were dealing with China.
Exactly.
Russia. All four countries.
All four,
and they were superpowers at one point, and then we became the ultimate superpower.
But we're still the most powerful now, right?
Oh, yeah. Despite, you know, the leadership and all that, that's irrelevant. Because it's not the leadership that I trust necessarily. Even if the White House is on our side, I trust our military the most.
Oh, yes.
Because they're the ones who sacrifice. They're the ones who don't care about, you know, they don't get into the political stuff. They just want to fight for the country and preserve the freedom. That's it.
Just keep fighting. Yeah. But they do have to obey the orders of a president of the United States, of course.
Obviously, because the general, it's the generals who have to ultimately obey, because the generals are the ones who ultimately control the military. The president does too. But you know what's interesting about being president is I don't have to see to be president. So if I ever wanted to be, I could be.
You should. You should.
I know. I've even thought of running one day.
Yeah, you definitely should.
And let me tell you, like, I would surround myself with great advisors from the military and from, like, some domestic advisors. But I would mainly try to focus more on military strategy and stuff.
Exactly.
And domestic stuff, too. But the main priority is as the president is to protect the country's homeland. That's the main priority.
Exactly.
And that's what Franklin Roosevelt did. And I'm really proud of him. Yes, I don't agree with him with all of his domestic stuff, but that's okay.
Right.
He helped us. He led us through World War II until his death, and then it was Truman who ultimately won the war.
Yes.
Harry Truman.
All right. So, shall we continue with the next clip?
Yep.
Okay. Let's keep going.
Okay, we're back. Talk about Pearl Harbor. Now we have Mr. Jack Corey from World War II on the air. How you doing, Papa?
Well, I'll tell you what. You tell him I was a Navy pilot, but I was not at Pearl Harbor when it happened. But I can tell you that the Arizona, for instance, we lost 1,100 men on that ship. And it was really a bad situation. And we had a lot more in other places. The Japanese did a pretty good job of whopping us. We lost 2,400 and some people on that thing. And right after that, we got together with what we had, and we had two major aircraft carriers. One of them was the Saratoga, and the other one was the Lexington. And the Lexington got hit pretty bad by the Japanese and did sink. And that's the first aircraft carrier we lost. And later on, of course, we made another Lexington and put the same name on it and all that. But to start with, when the first battle came, that was when we lost at Midway. That was tough. And that's when we lost all of the torpedo planes because they were getting too close to the water, and that satisfied them. It washed a lot of them out, and it's kind of unusual. I better quit talking about this because it's probably something that I remember distinctly. And I will say that we did then go to the Coral Sea, and in the Coral Sea, we just destroyed the rest of the Japanese aircraft carriers, and the majority of them. And it was pretty interesting. And eventually, of course, we took all the battleships that they had and all the aircraft carriers, and we beat them up. And it did take some time, but we did go on and on for island to island. And after all, the whole war landed a long time out there in the Pacific. But I think Hawaii in general had the highest building in Honolulu at the time early part of the war. The tallest building in Honolulu was 5 stories, and now they've got hotels, and we stayed in the 46th floor of a hotel when we were out there. Oh, this is probably 15 years ago. That shows how big that they were going out there. Interesting deal.
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you guys, you have any more information on this, you might want to talk about it, okay?
Yeah, because I know, of course, you know all this stuff because you lived it. You were in World War II. Now, I was telling just a while ago how I think you flew the Hellcat plane, right? What plane did you fly exactly?
The Hellcat was a major fighter that we had in World War II in the Navy, the Circuit Navy. Now the Air Force had a lot of other planes called they had the P-51s, which were very good, and that worked out well. We really cracked up the whole world, if you want to know the truth. But we made so many aircraft of different types that came on. We had, Ford Motor Company was making V-24s, and they were producing one every hour, would you believe, at one time?
Wow. Now,
that's fantastic.
Now,
then of course your B-17s were built by Boeing, mostly, and other people too, because a lot of people made parts for some of these aircraft too. But I think you're on the right path now. You're talking about.
Yeah. Now I know. I was telling everyone too how you were shot down by a Japanese artillery. You were scared. You had this one.
Well, it wasn't any artillery. Might have been artillery, but it was okay. You're right. Well, they got my engine is what they did. They shot the engine out, and that way I didn't have any. I had to land in the water and get picked up by a submarine.
And I know the Lord was with you all the way, and you were rescued by the great American submarine.
Oh, I'm not sure, really. Okay.
Yeah, Herbie, do you have anything to say to my grandfather?
I what?
Herbie.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
A while, and then of course I actually. Well, that worked out fine because.
All right. Wait, Herbie, are you here?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say to my grandfather? One second.
On the 8th of June, I was 100 years old. So I'm getting out there.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, Herbie, do you have anything to say?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for your service, and I'm sure it made a big, everybody, that was a big war to have to fight in.
This is Herbie. He's my other guest on the show. He's with us. He's telling you he wants to thank you for your service. His name is Herbie.
Well, tell him thank you very much, and I'll be able to get off of here so you guys can. And talk about it.
Yeah.
I do think that we finally became very, very confident in all the aircraft that we had going out in militarily, and that was the key to it. And I think that was our biggest item and our biggest one that we would like to that helped us win the war, frankly.
Exactly.
And I'll talk to you later, okay?
Well, Papa Jack, it is just so good to have you on here. Thanks so much for being on my show tonight.
Okay, well, thank you much.
Thank you. You have a good night. All right, that was my Papa Jack right there on the show. Tell him about his experience with World War II in Pearl Harbor. I'm very proud of him. He's just an amazing hero. And, he's... Today's 101. He's still... He's getting up there. He uses a walker. And... But he's still doing very good. Maybe he'll make it to 105. Brandy, what did you think of that?
It was good.
That's great. Wonderful. All right, a final segment is the president declaring war. And this is
President Roosevelt. Here we go.
Look at that.
Yep. Okay. So, you know, that, I mean, that was definitely very impressive. You know, took a lot of bravery to fight in that war. I mean, it was, you know, it took a major toll on people. And yeah, the production that was put online for the war, you know, back then, it was impressive and something that, you know, it took a lot of, you know, willpower and otherwise to win the war that I don't know that we could ever accomplish today. And I know there's talk about, you know, trying to do the same type of thing with the COVID response. You know, it's a different kind of war altogether. But what they did back then for World War II was definitely impressive. But to give you an idea of just how different the world was, I mean, like today, if something like that happened, we'd be getting instant live coverage on TV. There'd be talking heads speculating and, you know, trying to give us up-to-date information as much as possible. Back then, it was you know, you listen to some of the radio coverage. So, you know, back then, CBS, you know, interrupted with announcement. There's been an attack on Pearl Harbor. We'll have more information in, like, half an hour. And in the meantime, we take you back to your regular programming. So it was a totally different type of...
Exactly, yeah.
Coverage back then, too. I think that's totally interesting. And then, but yeah, getting shot down in the water. And, you know, he was lucky that, you know, he was rescued by the Americans because not a fun time to be a prisoner. You do not want to be a prisoner of war with the Japanese. It's
no,
tolerable with the Europeans, but
Japanese.
Not with the Japanese. No.
They're not as nice.
No, they are not.
No, and of course, after World War II, my grandfather did so much more, just to briefly talk about. He flew for Pan American Airlines. He flew to Europe and back. And he, after that, he finished his college degree in economics, and then he founded an oil company called Cory Pipe Supply Incorporated, where he did business with many, many countries, and he was very, very successful in that arena. And today, he's still going strong. He made it to his 100th birthday, so congratulations, Papa Jack, you know?
Yeah, he still sounds very viable, so definitely, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, I mean, He does get around with a walker here and there, but he's still going strong. He's great.
Yeah, that is totally impressive. I mean, it
is.
And yeah. And he would about say this much though. I mean, you're luckier to be a fighter pilot in that war because, you know, if you were island hopping, you could be prone to many diseases, if not, you know, enemy attacks. So
yeah, especially now with COVID-19.
That back then, that was the least, you know, COVID-19 today, you know, that was the least of your problems back then. I mean, I'd rather get a disease, I'd rather get COVID-19 today than a lot of the tropical diseases back then, because at least today we have, you know, more modern and better ways of curing people. So,
now, let's play a clip. Well, a speech actually from President Franklin D. Roosevelt asking Congress to declare war on Japan.
Senators and representatives, I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation. And at solicitation of Japan, still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire. Congress, with overwhelming acclaim, then voted the declaration of a state of war, and the president signed it 3 hours after this historic scene.
Wow, that was really good. So,
yes,
FDR declared war because you're right. I mean, it might have been a surprise, but it wasn't, because the Japanese, they knew what they were doing. They planned it.
They definitely planned it. It was a surprise to us, and like I said, the relations were a little bit complicated. No, there was no armed thing, but, you know, tensions were high, and you also have to remember, too, folks, that the United States was a new world power. We'd been around, you know, we'd been a nation for, you know, 160 some odd years, but it wasn't until 1898 with the Spanish-American War that we actually started getting involved with international politics and seizing empires along with the rest of the world, you know, which had already been doing that. The Western nations have been seizing Asian territories for, you know, centuries, and
yeah.
So it wasn't until, you know, the late 18 when we got into the game, and like I said, the Japanese, they were after resources. They wanted to build up their empire, and we held resources that they wanted, and that is ultimately what they were after.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. They were after that.
Now, I'll tell you another fun fact, that World War II was the last time we've actually declared war on a nation.
No, and I wonder if there's going to be World War III at one point.
Yeah, well, the United Nations, so one of the, you know, side, I mean, we could talk more about World War II as a whole another time, but that's, you know, where the United Nations comes into play, and, you know, and their goal was to prevent World War III by changing the way alliances and stuff work. But since then, you know, yeah, we've been in other conflicts, but they've been labeled as conflicts with other nations, not actual, like, official states of war, which changes the rules of conduct a little bit, so.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so, how about we play another clip?
Sounds good. This is
Pearl Harbor news footage. This is day it happened.
Your commentator is Joe O'Brien. Here is the motion picture record released by the United States Navy of the havoc wrought by the Japs' sneak sky and sea raid on Pearl Harbor, America's mid-Pacific naval bastion. On December 7th, 1941, Japan, like its infamous Axis partners, struck first and declared war afterwards. Costly to our Navy was the loss of war vessels, airplanes, and equipment. But more costly to Japan was the effectiveness of its foul attack in immediately unifying America in its determination to fight and win the war thrust upon it, and to win the peace that will follow. The Japs copied their German masters in striking hard at airfields. Hickam Field, northwest of Honolulu, and the Ford Island Naval Plane Base were the first objectives of Japan's treachery. Scores of planes were bruised and battered by the Japs' aerial bombs. Many of these were demolished beyond repair. Direct hits were scored on hangars, and these were badly shattered. Equipment and airplane supplies were reduced to smoldering ruins. Here at the Naval Air Station is grim and positive evidence of Jap treachery. Here, foul blows were struck while Jap diplomats were talking peace in Washington. America lost three destroyers. Here are seen the United States destroyers Downs and Shaw as they rest on the bottom of Pearl Harbor with decks awash after Jap bombers make direct hits on their decks. First to feel the sting of Japanese steel are the USS Oklahoma and Utah, the latter a 33-year-old target ship. Accurate hits by the enemy bombers make short work of these two naval bulwarks. Now, with their keels practically out of water, they lie helpless wrecks and a sad reminder of cowardly strategy. To make possible a surprise attack within Pearl Harbor, the Japs built two-man submarines to enable them to fire sneak blows within waters that are narrow and tortuous. Several of these surprise weapons were blown from the water by direct hits of our naval gunners. Others were beached and captured. While sky and sea fire was still raging, salvage crews inspected our naval craft to estimate what may be saved. Before the din of bursting bombs had been silenced, preparations were underway to salvage these two warships. At low tide, the huge propeller of the Oklahoma, stilled by the enemy, was high above water. It is believed that the small two-man Jap submarines carrying dual torpedo tubes were responsible for these two losses to our Pacific Fleet. Here is the actual bombing of the mighty USS Arizona by Jap planes. These pictures were made by a fearless cameraman who thought nothing of his personal safety to make possible this record for all posterity. A single lucky hit was responsible for the disaster that befell the Arizona when a Jap bomb falling directly through one of the battleship's funnels exploded in the engine room and set ablaze tons of fuel oil. Dense black smoke billowed to the sky as the massive control tower began to keel over. The Arizona's courageous crew stuck to its guns until the very end. Here was displayed heroism that will live forever in the glorious annals and traditions of the American Navy. The once mighty Arizona now rests on Pearl Harbor's muddy bottom. A pitiful relic of its former self, a grim monument to the treachery of Japan. The once mighty dreadnought's armor plate is twisted and torn, but the great battleship's control tower still stands, a defiant beacon that in days to come will cast its shadow upon Nippon's very shores. At Pearl Harbor, at Hickam Field, in the bomb-pocked streets of Honolulu, ever is written history. History with a tragic, treacherous pen. History that 130 million Americans will never forget. And in days to come, the Japs, too, will remember Pearl Harbor. Here is a tragic, unforgettable page in the annals of America. Here, the cunning deceit of the Japs will never be forgotten. Here, they hoped to score a knockout before the war began. The Arizona's gun crews, battered and broken, fired to the last. Their guns pointed skyward from whence the enemy appeared. The Jap sneak blow cost hundreds of military and civilian lives. The treacherous attack cost our Pacific Fleet two battleships outright, another capsized, the loss of three destroyers and a mine layer. While bombs were still bursting and flames still pouring from our shattered naval craft, a light United States cruiser valiantly moves out to join the fleet and avenge Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, that was some very interesting stuff there. Indeed, like you said, this is history that we will never forget. Yeah, we'll never...
You gotta admit, I mean, I love how news reporting was back in the day. I mean, I feel like it was more engaging than what we have today. It's so fast-paced today, but it was a different world back then. And I want to, you know, and just so people know, in case you don't know, people were not watching this on their TVs back then. Only
a
handful of people had TVs, and it was still very experimental. No, you were watching this in the movie theater as a newsreel, and... So that's how you were seeing this back then. You know, this is stuff, you know, just brought to life.
Yeah, and you see, today the news is just so negative today.
Yep.
Yeah. All the media wants to share is information that you want to know. It's false, you know?
Yep, gone are the days of that type of news reporting that,
and a lot of it has to do with all the technology that's so readily available.
It does. The technology was so different back then, and, you know, live reporting, you know, just media reporting, it was all new back then, and, but...
Yeah, so, before we end, anything... Do you want to comment? Would you say, perhaps, World War II and Pearl Harbor, do you believe that it taught us, you know, a lesson of, like, resilience, you know, to
Well, you know, I mean, the next surprise attack we had on this nation was 9/11, you know, just as tragic. I mean, but Japan did ultimately feel the effects of that thing as they got the big one, you know, the two atomic bombs 4 years later, so, I mean... There is no glory in war, folks. I'm just going to be up front and telling you that. We had to do what we had to do in order to try to save as many lives as we could, especially ours. You know, both sides were, you know, their one blind spot to each other was racism, really, because, you know, we didn't think that the inferior Japs would ever were capable of something like this to us, and, you know, the Japs, they viewed anybody that was not Japanese, including other Asian races, as not human, so...
And look at systemic racism, you know, still going on today.
Oh, yeah. It still does, sadly, and that's a whole nother thing in itself, but, you know, just the thing that we need to learn from that is, you know, we always need to be on our guard, and... I think we've failed a little bit historically since then, you know, well before 9/11. But, you know, we don't need to live in, like, a militarized society or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But we do need to always be on guard because somebody's always going to exploit any potential weakness that they see. And maybe they will. And, you know, that... We're going to do it to people, they're going to do it to us, but we need to be ready to... Sometimes it's how you respond to the unexpected that can make a difference. We had the luxury of being the largest nation in the world. We could mobilize our economy. We did, and we took it to the enemy, and they pay dearly for it to this day because of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and I know... You know, we've as President Bush, when he said after 9/11, we've tackled enemies before, and I know we'll continue to keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, no doubt, we'll never forget this day, Pearl Harbor. It was even on ABC World News tonight. I was like, oh,
well,
cool.
Well, Sailor, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you bet. All right, well, that was Herbie on there, plus President Roosevelt saying, we're going to declare war. And he's right, the Japs got it worse in the end because we dropped the atomic bomb on them.
Oh, yeah. Sure did.
Yes, yes. So, it's time to wrap up. Any conclusions, any thoughts you have about Pearl Harbor?
Well, let me tell you, we kicked some booty.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't mess around. And let me tell you, 60 years later, 9/11 took place. We didn't mess around then either.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Bush, man, say what you will about him. He cared about the country.
He did.
Just like Roosevelt cared about the country, despite the fact that I didn't agree with him a lot on the domestic front. But so what?
But I think if anything, Trump cared the most. And he still cares today.
I do. I believe that. But I also believe that even FDR, Kennedy, Bush, Reagan, these are all iconic presidents that cared for the country. And yes, Trump too. And hopefully, maybe one day it'll be Ron DeSantis next. Who knows?
Who knows? Yes.
I'll see what happens. I really am impressed by him. He's a really good governor of Florida. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Brandy?
Uh-huh.
Any thoughts you have?
About Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
I'm about half asleep.
You are half asleep? That's all right.
That's all right.
That's okay.
But
if you don't have anything, that's okay.
That's okay. But, of course, Pearl Harbor was something. World War II was crazy.
Yes, it was.
In fact, my grandfather, he lived it. He was there. And wow. It was great.
He was a veteran, was he not?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Did he go and fight in Iwo Jima?
He was in the Navy. In the Navy.
What, did he have to go to Japan?
I believe so, yes. Yes.
Okay. Was he there whenever the two bombs took place?
No, I don't think so. No.
Man, that is just crazy.
Yes.
You know what's crazy is we were the first country to detonate a bomb like that.
Wow, yeah.
I think we were. We tested it just to make sure, and then we dropped it.
Right.
We dropped it twice.
Yes.
August 6, 1945 was Hiroshima, and then August 9, Nagasaki.
Nagasaki, yeah.
And then the Japanese surrendered.
They did.
And you know, the Japanese are actually one of our allies now.
That's great, yeah.
Just like India's our ally.
Yeah.
You know that in India, when Trump visited India, thousands showed up for him.
The UK is our ally, France. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we have troops in South Korea, for instance. We have troops. But the reason why we have troops, it's not to conquer. It's not to engage in war. It's to keep peace, you know?
Yes, it is.
So I don't believe we should just take troops out of every nation. No, that would be ridiculous. We got to keep certain troops there to maintain peace and to maintain stability within the countries. And they want us there too.
But Afghanistan was crazy. Yeah.
Afghanistan, the way we left was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
The way we left this year was horrible. And many troops had to go back, I think. And, it was pretty crazy. But hopefully one of these days it'll get better. And I know
it will.
Yes.
So anything else, or should we wrap it up?
We can wrap it up now.
All right. So I hope you found this show very informative tonight. Please stay tuned for the great programming on Real Variety Radio. And we'll be back next week. We're going to do a Mexican Christmas show. Mexican Christmas music.
Oh, like Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
That's the one that I really like.
Yes.
And then, of course, maybe the next week, the 22nd, we can do a classic Christmas show with everything traditional that we know.
Perhaps. Exactly, yes.
And then the next week, New Year.
New Year's, yeah.
So we already got programming already lined up for you, folks.
Yes, we do.
So, if there's nothing else, I hope you all had a wonderful evening. Hope you all had a wonderful evening, and I look forward to y'all tuning in next week. Same time, same place.
That's right. Good night.
Yep. Good night,
Brandy.
Everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, love. Brandy. Good night.
Sailor and Tyler on Real.